first of the Sushi Maris Devandre, the Boy Charnab and the Bhakti Vedanta Sam Prabhupati. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Sekha Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrindaki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki, Sri Vrindavan Dhan Ki, Sri Jamai Ki Jai, Sri Jamai Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai, The Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nalar Shri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai, Nalar Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Nalar Shri Shri Lakshmi Singh Dev Ki Jai, Nalar Shri 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 Gornitai Ki Jai, Jai Go Premanande, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Shri Shri Guru and Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, entitled Bhagavatam is the Answer to All Questions. Text number 19. Vivakshur Mukato Bhumno
Vivakshur Mukato Bhumno
Vani Vagya Ritantayo
Vani Vagya Ritantayo
Jale Chaitasya Suchiram Niroda samajayata
Niroda samajayata
Vivakshur mukato bhumno
Vivakshur mukato bhumno
Vani vagya ritam tayo
Vani vagya ritam tayo
Jale chaitasya suchiram
Jale chaitasya suchiram
Niroda samajayata
Niroda
Vivakshur mukato bhumno
Vivakshur mukato bhumno
Vani vagya ritam tayo
Vani vagya ritam tayo
Jale chaitasya suchiram
Jale chaitasya suchiram
Niroda samajayata
Niroda samajayata
Please chant.
Vivakshur mukato bhumno
Vivakshur mukato bhumno
Vani vagya ritam tayo
Vani vagya ritam tayo
Jale chaitasya suchiram
Jale chaitasya suchiram
Niroda samajayata
Niroda samajayata Vivakshur mukato bhumno
Vani vagya ritam tayo
Jale chaitasya suchiram
Niroda
samajayata Vivakshur mukato bhumno Vani vagya ritam tayo
Jale
chaitasya suchiram
Niroda samajayata
Vivakshur mukato bhumno
Vivakshur,
when there was a need to speak,
when
Mukataha.
Mukataha.
From the mouth.
From the mouth.
Bhumnaha.
Bhumnaha.
Of the Supreme.
Of the Supreme.
Vanihi.
Vanihi.
Fire or the controlling deity of fire.
Fire, the controlling deity of fire.
Vah.
Vah.
Vibration.
Vibration.
Vyaritam.
Vyaritam.
Speeches.
Speeches.
Tayo.
Tayo.
By both.
By both.
Jale.
Jale.
In the water.
In the water.
Cha.
Cha.
However.
However.
Etasya.
Etasya.
Of all these.
Of all these.
Suchiram.
Suchiram.
A very, very long time.
A very, very long time.
Nirodaha.
Nirodaha.
Suspension.
Suspension.
Samajayata.
Samajayata.
Did continue.
Did continue.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace to the Prabhupada.
Jai.
Translation. When the Supreme desired to speak, speeches were vibrated from the mouth. Then the controlling deity of fire was generated from the mouth. But when he was lying in the water, all these functions remained suspended. Purport. The peculiarity of the gradual development of the different senses is simultaneously supported by their controlling deities. It is to be understood, therefore, that the activities of the sense organs are controlled by the will of the Supreme. The senses are, so to speak, offering a license for the conditioned souls who are to use them properly under the control of the controlling deity deputed by the Supreme Lord. One who violates such controlling regulations has to be punished by degradation to a lower status of life. Consider, for example, the tongue and its controlling deity, Varuna. The tongue is meant for eating, and men, animals, and birds each have their different tastes because of different licenses. The taste of human beings and that of the swine are not on the same level. The controlling deity, however, awards or certifies a particular type of body when the particular living entity develops a taste in terms of different modes of nature. If the human being develops taste without discrimination, as does the swine, then the controlling deity is certainly certified for the next term to award him the body of a swine. The swine accepts any kind of foodstuff, including stools, and a human being who has developed such indiscriminate taste must be prepared for a degraded life in the next life. Such a life is also God's grace, because the conditioned soul desired a body like that for perfectly tasting a particular type of foodstuff. If a man gets a body of a swine, it must be considered the grace of the Lord, because the Lord awards the facility. After death, the next body is offered by superior control, not blindly. A human being, therefore, must be on his guard as to what sort of body he is going to have in the next life. An irresponsible life of indiscrimination is risky, and that is the declaration of all scriptures. Om Agyanati Mrindasya Agyananjana Shalakya Chakshuram Maritam Yama Tasman Shri Gurukumha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Vishnu Krishna Prabhava Prabhuti Namo Shri Shri Vrindata Vihira Padapapanka Jaya Pavipada Nupadaya Namo Shri Gurukumha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuta Vishnu Krishna Prabhava Prabhuti Namo Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vichane Nirvishesha Sinipadi Pastor Tadeshitana Hare Krishna. So here we are in this wonderful discussion between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. At a time of crisis for Maharaj Parikshit because he is destined to give up his body in 7 days. And so it's an urgent situation. It's critical. There's no time to waste. And surrounding him are many, many saintly persons. Great sages, munis, yogis, and so many more that are there. So one would question that why would Maharaj Parikshit not jump into the 10th canto to discuss the superior and transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna, of the Supreme Lord? Why go through these different steps to discuss about creation and all these things that apparently it's a challenge to his time factor? But Maharaj Parikshit, being a great devotee, being a especially merciful Mahatma, has a different idea. He was concerned about everyone around him. He was concerned to give the best. Just like we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, even at the last moments of his life, what was Srila Prabhupada doing? Was he translating or was he relaxing in Vrindavan and said, I'm going to spend the last few days? No, he was translating, he was instructing, he was guiding to his last breath. He was concerned about every one of us, concerned about the world at large. In 1967, when Srila Prabhupada was going back to India for the first time to recover from his health, the devotees didn't know so much. So they asked Srila Prabhupada that, can we get someone to preside over until you get back? Srila Prabhupada said no, that even if they change one word, the whole thing would be spoiled, his whole mission. So Prabhupada was so conscious and so meticulous. He even said one time, when I think it was Rameshwar Swami, were talking to Srila Prabhupada about the expenses of printing these books and, you know, so make some adjustments with the cover, make some adjustments here and there. And Prabhupada said no. He said that given 1,000 thoughts into every word that they put in here. Also about the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada said that I could have written this so much faster. Imagine Srila Prabhupada wrote it in, was it in 2 months he was translating and the devotees couldn't keep up in printing? And still Prabhupada said that I could have done this so much faster, but I have to think to present it in a way for the common people to understand. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's books. You have to get purports to his purports to understand. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada as a Mahatma, as a great soul, was very, very concerned to his very last moment to give the best he can. So similarly in this situation, Maharaj Parikshit, he was surrounded by so much sages, so many people, and he was very concerned to give them the right thing, to give them the right channel, to let them understand the right procedure and what's best for them. So he was executing the orders of his grandfather, Maharaj Yudhisthira. So to give them the proper conclusion, because as we understand that sages aren't necessarily devotees. Sages and yogis, they have different conclusions. So here is what Maharaj Yudhisthira has to say about that. So this is from the Mahabharata Vana Parva. Dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajans advocate. So this is exactly what Maharaj Parikshit is doing here. He's, with all his time is limited, but he's giving, he's presenting his questions in such a way so that Sukadev Goswami can bring out these answers. As we discussed many times before, Maharaj Parikshit was equally as qualified as Sukadev Goswami. It could have been the other way around. He could have been the teacher, the guru, and Sukadev Goswami could have been the disciple because he was that qualified. So he was concerned that the truth about Krishna is established. For that reason, we can consider that this chapter is one of the most important chapters in the Bhagavatam. Not only the most important chapters in the chapter in the Bhagavatam, but probably in all of the Puranas, because these 10 subject matters are being discussed. So here's what Sukadev Goswami says. He described the 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam in chapter, text 1 of this chapter. Sukadev Goswami said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following: the creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and the summum bonum. So this is the basis of the Bhagavatam. So the very beginning of this chapter, this is where we can say in a sense that where the Bhagavatam begins, because Sukadev Goswami is describing these are the topics that would be consist the Bhagavatam. And Sukadev Goswami, from the questions asked by Maharaj Parikshit, is presenting these answers. So here, throughout this chapter, we find that Sukadev Goswami is describing the personality of Godhead, describing this universal form, this process of creation, to establish the fact that Krishna is a person, to establish the fact that we should not misjudge anyone, that Krishna is personal, show how his body operates, how the creation comes about, just so that we get this point driven right into our head very strongly that Krishna is a person, he's not impersonal. This particular verse is describing how he arranges all these 33 million demigods to be agents of our controlling deities for every aspect of our lives. So for every aspect, don't think it's happening blindly. But there is a deity or there is a minister, for example, in the government. We have so many ministers, finance, agriculture, this, that, next. And due to the direction of the leader, the president, all these ministers are acting to direct and control every aspect of the government, every aspect of the country. So similarly, the Lord is presenting as a person, giving different aspects, giving different ministers to control. So here Sukadev Goswami, in answering these questions of Maharaj Parikshit, allowing Maharaj Parikshit to give this thought that throughout the 9 cantos give all these different descriptions as to who Krishna is. Sometimes it'd be thought, okay, we jump into the 10th canto and we hear the description of Krishna stealing water, or Krishna taking the clothes of the gopis, or Krishna pinching all the little babies and make them cry, or so many different things that Krishna would do, like Krishna instructs Arjuna kill Karna when he was unarmed, instructed Bhim hit Duryodhan below the waist, which is against the rules of combat. There are so many things that Krishna did. So if one jumps right into the 10th canto and see these things, one would have a total misunderstanding of Krishna. They're wondering, who is this Krishna? Despite we say that he's God, forget that he's God, that he's not even a moral human being acting in these ways because of all these things that he's doing. So to avoid all of that, avoid all this misconception and judgment, Maharaj Parikshit is asking questions in such a way so that to bring out all these different descriptions, bring out all these different incarnations that we would hear throughout the first nine cantos of the Bhagavatam, to understand the different aspects, the different variegatedness of the personality of Godhead, to understand exactly who Krishna is, so that no one would misjudge him. I know in 2014 in Poland, there was a court case by the Christian sect there trying to rule out the devotees in Poland. So the argument to the judge is that Krishna is immoral. And why is he immoral? Because he has 16,108 wives. So then the devotees battled that if you're arguing on that basis, then tell us, what vows does your nuns make when they decide to practice? So upon their being silent, the judge gave permission to the devotees to describe. So then he described that their vow is that they all accept Jesus Christ as their husband, and which was accepted by their leader that yes, that is true. So then he said, and then who are more immoral? Krishna has 16,108 wives, or Jesus Christ who have millions of wives? So then at that point the judge threw the case out. This is fact, this happened in 2014 in Poland. So anyway, is that misjudgment that we misjudge? Look, how many times, like, you have the story of the Shamataka jewel and Satrajit, that where they misjudge Krishna, that he's the one who stole the Shamataka jewel. Can you give some more examples how many times that Krishna was misjudged by different? Can you give some examples? There are so many. Anyone?
He told Yudhishthira to tell a lie.
Right. What kind of force, what kind of God is he? He's telling Yudhishthira to tell a lie. You know, so things like that.
He told his wife to give him up.
Yes. Yeah. That okay, no one knows which caste I belong. I'm a Kshatriya or a Brahmin or whatever. No one knows. So things like that. So there's so many reasons that one can come to. There's so many reasons that one can use to support their conclusion that Krishna is an immoral person, that Krishna is not necessarily done as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's so many things. So many ways that he can be misjudged. We also have in the Ramayana with Bharat, when Bharat came back to Ayodhya, he heard a whole catastrophe that went on, and everyone in the kingdom was blaming him that he had something to do with this, that he went away to his uncle's place. His mother and him had this plan, KKE, to banish Ram and establish him as king, because his father was bound by this vow that he has to fulfill his promise. So Bharat was misjudged by the people. Ram was misjudged when he banished Sita. He's being criticized. Until now, so many people criticize Ram for doing that. So for Bharat to prove his point, that no, that's not true. He has nothing to do with this. He didn't know what was going on. He even gave up his own mother. He disowned his mother. And he also decided, well, I'm going to go to the forest. I'm going to go to Chitrakoot, where Ram, Sita, and Lakshman is. I'm going to bring back Ram, but I'm going to uphold the promise of my father that his son will be banished. So I'm going to stay in the forest and let Ram come back to rule the kingdom. So when he decided to do that, then the people became convinced that yes, you know, Bharat was honest, that we have misjudged Bharat here. But when Bharat went to the forest, what happened? He was misjudged again. Because they saw this entire army was coming. So Ram told Lakshman that, oh, this army is coming, just, you know, go and see what's going on. So then Lakshman saw the army and he recognized Bharat in front. And immediately he got angry. So he came back to Ram. He said, oh, look, your brother, you know, our brother Bharat is coming with an entire army to try to wipe us out because, you know, we are unarmed. We don't have weapons to finish us off. But don't worry, I'm going to kill him right away. Then Ram says, no, cool down. Just take it easy. Just try to find out. Don't judge. Find out what exactly is his mission. Then Bharat came. Did obeisances and tears in his eyes and apologizing for what his mother has done and said, let me stay in the forest, take your austerities, and you go back and rule the kingdom. Of course, he couldn't have convinced Ram. So he said, at least give me your shoes. I'll put the shoes on the throne and I'll live an ascetic life until you return. So again, misjudgment is there. Again, you know, Bharat was misjudged by his brother. So many times we misjudge even in our own lives, our spouses, our children, our surrounding. Once there was a story of an old man and his wife. They're poor, all they had were two donkeys. And so this old man was lamenting that, oh, all I have are these two donkeys that don't give me much, that if I had sons instead, you know, that they would have provided so much for us. So passing by, there were two robbers who heard. And as usual in Kali Yuga, we like to pour gasoline on the fire in terms of trying to help. You find it in America all the time. People call you, oh, you're in this distress, you have this debt, let me help you out here. I'll lend you money at that can ease your debt, but then it's going to be 3 times the interest and put you in more, you know, in more pressure. So they decide, well, they're going to help this old man. So they presented themselves as astrologers and mystics. So they disguised and came. They said, hey, look, we're going to take your donkey and we're going to give you 2 sons instead. We're going to make these donkeys into men that they're going to support you and help to take care of you. Then they would help to maintain you. So they were very happy. So they took the old man's two donkeys, that's all he had to depend on. And then they came back the next day and said, go to the court, that you'll meet your 2 sons. One of them is a judge, and the other one is the magistrate. That go and approach them, and they would give you money, and they would, you know, they would take care of you. So the next day, the court day, the old man went there, and just at the step, he saw the magistrate was coming, and he said, oh, my son, look, now you've become man, now you're the magistrate. And the magistrate is thinking, who is this crazy guy? Let me give him something. So he gave him $10 and said, go your way. So the man said, oh, just see, it's working, that yes, you know, my son gave me money. So then when the judge was coming, the judge was walking up the step, he went from the underside, he grabbed onto the judge's feet, he said, oh, just see, oh my son, you have become man. And the judge was thinking, what's going on? So he was trying to get him off, so he shook his leg. He tried to give him a little kick and get him off, you know, get loose from this old man. And this man said, you see, You that all that although you have become a man, you still have your donkey tendency, you're still kicking. So again, he's judging from his own perspective. He's judging this person, he's judging this situation. So many times, you know, how many of us got accused by our children when we don't give them what they want, or our spouse? They said, oh, you're a bad person. Anyone have that experience? Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that's there. So Maharaj Parikshit is establishing Krishna with all these like force, establishing him as a person and not impersonal, then establish his activities, all his activities. Throughout the ninth cantos of the Bhagavatam, they're all different descriptions of Krishna, his activities, his different incarnations, so as to establish and understand who he is. That's why Srila Prabhupada is so strategic about instructing us that we should strategically study the Bhagavatam from the first canto all the way up to the ninth and tenth and so forth, so we can get the proper understanding. So Maharaj Parikshit Vidal, he on his last, he could have said, well, let me just chant Hare Krishna. But he's establishing, he's concerned about the people around him. He's very concerned to give them the right message, to let them understand, all these saints and sages and everybody else that was there, let them understand who Krishna is. So when they come to the 10th canto and they heard of Krishna stealing butter, then they would think, oh, Krishna is God, he can do anything. He has created the entire universe. He has supported all the creation, that the entire material cosmos. Not only that, within the cosmos there are so many different universes that Krishna manifested. The universes, then he manifested himself as Mahavishnu within this one universe. Within this universe there are so many different planets. Within this planet there's a planet Earth. Within that planet Earth there is America. Within America there is Alachua. And sitting in Alachua, there's one person giving class thinking he's very important. And still, Krishna treats that person with a lot of importance. So if Krishna is that great, can do all of that, what's the big deal if he steals some butter? Or what's the big deal if he presents himself as a pig, as a hog, the boar incarnation, or as a horse? We would have that understanding that Krishna can do anything and everything. So it's no big of a deal for him to do that. Or that Krishna can go beyond religious principles to instruct the most dharmic person to break his vow, instruct Maharaj Yudhisthira to tell a lie. Krishna can do that. He is above religious principles. Even his devotees, such a close relationship that not only that Krishna is God, but he allows his devotees to be his father and mother. He allows them to instruct him. He allows them to chastise him. When Balaram came to Mother Yashoda and says, well, this Krishna, he's eating dirt. And Mother Yashoda came to him, he had tears in his eyes when he was stealing butter and breaking all the pots and going with feeding them to the monkeys, and his mother came running with a stick, he was crying. He was fearful. So he allows himself to let his devotees treat him in that way. And then afterwards, when Balaram saw that Mother Yashoda was chastising Krishna, Balaram said, you chastising him, don't you know he's God? Don't you know I'm also God? Then she picked up the stick. He said, oh, you're God, come here. And they all flee. So like that, all these reciprocations. So when we get to the 10th canto, get to understand Krishna as a person, get to understand his activities, we would have no hesitation in accepting and understanding Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. that we accept everything that he does, the way he does it, even though we don't understand why he does it, so on the most part, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We would be able to come to that conclusion. Just like Brahma did. After the whole Brahma Vimohan Leela, after Brahma learned his lesson, he misjudged Krishna. Then he prayed. Shriya Kanta Kanta Paramapurusho Kalpataravo Gume Kumo Jume Shinta Manigamanayam Toyamamritam. And like that, he continued describing Krishna and the Suitadweep, Krishna's activities, the most transcendental thought there is in creation. Brahma describes that, Brahma Samhita, verse 56. Is there, everything is there. Indra also misjudged Krishna, that this adamant boy, this stubborn boy, he described Krishna. He was so gross in his misjudgment that he used the grossest word to describe Krishna as stabhyam. Stabhyam means stubborn, adamant, gruesome, everything that you can describe bad about a person. You know, Indra did it. And afterwards, when he saw who Krishna is, when he surrendered, he accepted that he has misjudged the Lord. So in the demigods, it's possible that the demigods misjudged the Lord. What to speak of us? What to speak of we? Not to even misjudge the Lord who we can, you know, understand so much. We misjudge our own people that we see every day. We misjudge. Because we have an idea. We have a certain conditioned idea. And if no one else can come around to that idea, then they're not a good person. Then we can't love them. We cannot appreciate them. Once a devotee told a story, his own life story. So his parents sent them from India, two brothers, to come to America to get education. So his brother went, he got an education, he started to work, finished college, and he's supporting his parents. He came, he met with the devotees. He did some education, but he met with the devotees. He became a Hare Krishna. And can't send any money to his parents. So he called his mother, and the mother said, "Boy, how can I love you? Look at your brother. He came, he got the education, now he's sending us money. You became a Hare Krishna, you're not sending us anything. How can we love you?" So, like that. This is a true story. It's not like. So, you know, like that, we have a certain conception. And once my mother, as a little boy, my mother got mad at my brothers. And she said, "I made you, but even only I could have made your mind, then you would have been perfect. Because you would do what I want you to do." So like that, you know, we have this nature to think, to judge someone, to get someone around my way. But Maharaj Parikshit's idea here is to get everyone around Krishna's way. Learn to accept, learn to do things the way Krishna wants us to do it. The way Krishna wants us to act. One time, one person told Srila Prabhupada, criticizing Prabhupada's disciples, he said, "Just look at them. They're all sleeping in your Bhagavatam class." Prabhupada said, "Oh, yeah?" He said, "Yes, look, all the time they're sleeping in your class, excepting for a few, and the most part they're sleeping in your class. They're barely awake." So then Prabhupada said, they're awake just this little much. But look how much they're doing for me in that little time that they're awake. You're awake this much, and how much are you doing?" So that's the vision of a Mahajan. That's the vision. So anyway, these are some few points I have. If anyone has any questions, comments, corrections, we can take them. anyone. So, seeing that there is nothing, we can end the class here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.